For those of you that weren't here last Sunday, I made the announcement that this summer I'm taking 8 weeks off, and I've appointed Bruce Brown. Is Bruce still here?
No.
Down teaching the kids. And Bruce will be filling my shoes this summer, as well as, of course, the elders of the church. He'll be working in conjunction with them in leading the church. Test. We good, Sarah? Pilot, co-pilot? I've got a green light. All systems go. Hello. No luck, eh? Test. That's interesting. Everything's good here. I guess that's why we do this at 5 to 10 each day and check it out. Okay. I'll just keep talking loud, Sarah, and then I'll lower my voice when I see us come through. Where can we begin today? Day of Pentecost. I want to tell you, Amanda's got and Mike have a wonderful testimony this morning, and I had one too, I guess it had happened yesterday. I had a friend that was visiting from Edmonton. We go back 40 years, used to play hockey together. He served Christ in the north as a pastor for 15 years, and now he ministers out of Stony Plain. We're driving through the Frank Slide coming west. There we go. We're coming through the Frank Slide heading west. And the clouds, you know, the forecast was snow on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got snow in Coleman. We didn't in Blairmore, as far as I know. Oh, we did. Okay, I didn't see any of my place. But anyway, so we're driving through. And Kyla's not here this morning because she was involved with a big golf tournament yesterday, hosting it, the Rick Rippon Memorial, the tournament they have, raise funds. Anyway, she was responsible for the tournament. And I was telling my friend Lynn about this. And then, of course, we knew the weather coming in and forecast for snow, like, whoa. And I mean, snow, rain, that can really wreck something like that. And he really loves my daughter and realized the situation she was facing. And he just simply started to pray. And he started to speak to the elements. And it was a simple prayer, but he just, you know, prayed that Saturday would be hold back the clouds, hold back the, not the clouds, but the rain and the snow, and Lord, just come in and really come through in a big way. And then I woke up yesterday, and I spent most of my day in and out all day, and then I was out, part of the banquet last night for a few short hours, and I guess they were out there all day, and it never rained, I think maybe the last 10 minutes. Would there be an excitement there?
Yeah.
I know it might not mean much to you, but, I heard the man pray. I heard him talk to the elements. I heard him, you know, and just leave it at that, and then walk in faith. Lord, we leave it up to you. And then to be at the door last night and see these guys coming in, and they had spent the whole day out there, and they didn't know it, but I did, that somebody was interceding for them. Didn't know them at all, but just that their day would go well. And he spoke to the wind and the waves. Not the wind and the waves, the wind and the clouds and the storms. Just a thought. Jesus did that in the Bible. He spoke to those things. A little bit of feedback, Sarah? So, I'm pumped about that miracle. I wish you guys were too. But anyways, we'll just keep moving on. Let's get into the message here. This week, I was, Tuesday, I went out, and little Amber here, 6 years old, my granddaughter, and I was invited to her little t-ball practice. Never been to it. She just started this year. And I went out and watched, and I was observing that the coach would bring her out to the plate there, and they put it on this little stand, and they stand there, and then coach gets them lined up, gets the legs down, gets that bat up, and shows them the fundamentals of how to hit a baseball, a softball. And so I'm watching there, and one swing, boom, she hit her out of the park. She was a beauty. And so then a little later on, I noticed that on another station, after they finished batting, some of them went over to the other side, and they had targets up on the fence there. They had three different targets, and the kids would throw a ball towards the target. And little Amber, I noticed her there, and she would go like this, and she would hit the target now and again. But she was throwing it like this, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, no, no, you got to, you know, you want to pitch a baseball, you got to take your stance, feet, legs, and everything, and then just heave it. But I didn't get the opportunity to correct her there. But what does that have to do with today's message? It's this. There's fundamentals in baseball that little Amber in her batting, she's got it. As she does those three or little, four little fundamentals, it'll take her through, if she even plays ball for the next 2 or 3 years, or to an adult, those fundamentals will take her right through that she will do good at the plate. Doesn't mean she's not unteachable and she can't learn more things, but she's got the fundamentals, right? The pitching, no. She's on the wrong foot. Literally on the wrong foot. And so she's got to correct that. She's got to somehow regroup. What does that have to do with our Christianity? Today's the day of Pentecost. And to me, the Christian life, how we live out the Christian life, the fundamental starts today. 2,000 years ago as the Spirit was poured out. But that is the foundation, the fundamental in our Christian life that'll keep us going 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. I believe God laid it out there that this is how the Christian life should be lived. Is the Spirit of God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, the mystery of the gospel, and he is to live that life through us. Would there be one amen? So many times we flip it around, and we get it wrong, and we might start in the Spirit, as we'll get to later, and then we begin to try to help God out. And in our wisdom, and in our strength, and we begin to actually try to live this life out without the strength and the power and the Spirit of God in our life. So we want to go there this morning. We're not going to put the scripture. Most of you are familiar with Acts chapter 1 and 2. Jesus ministered 3 years. He gathers his disciples. He says, guys, in John, I've got to go. They're scared spitless. He's leaving. He says, it's far more important that I go and be with the Father and I pour out the Spirit and he will be with you till the end of the age. That is how Christ lives in us, through his Spirit. So he made that promise in Acts chapter 1. They start a dialogue, and he was getting ready to leave, go to be with his Father. And the disciples begin to ask, hey, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom, overthrow the Romans, get back to the days of King David, and yeah, we're all might and power? And he says, those times aren't, don't worry about that. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, to the uttermost part of the earth. Up Jesus goes. They waited 10 days. That was the period, the 40 days Jesus, after his resurrection, he appeared to his disciples. They were shocked when they first saw him. But that resurrection sealed their fate, so to speak, in their mind. They realized, wow, it's true. They just didn't get it for a while, but now they saw him and they knew. And now they have to wait. Jesus says 10 days, or he didn't say, he says 10 days. Or pardon me, he says, wait in Jerusalem till you're endued with power from on high to begin to live this life I want to live through you. 10 days later, we pick it up. Bruce read it in Acts chapter 2. Holy Spirit's poured out. At that time, the day of Pentecost, thousands of Jews are coming back to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. And so these guys are in the upper room, at least 120, and the Spirit comes upon them, mighty rushing wind, they began to speak in tongues, and people around there, they hear this, and they're from all different nations, and they're hearing them speak in their language. And they say, man, what's going on here? These guys are all from Galilee. And here we hear them speaking in our own language, glorifying God. They ask that question. And Peter begins to explain the gospel, sharing the pouring of the Spirit that comes, the prophet Joel. This is that he spoke of hundreds of years before. And so the Spirit's outpoured. And then we begin to watch in the book of Acts. And Peter stands up and he begins to give this sermon under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He points to Jesus. We talked about this a few weeks ago. He starts glorifying Jesus. He starts talking about Jesus. And they hear this message about this risen Christ. It's true. Whoa! We crucified the Lord of glory. And they go, oh my goodness, what can we do? We're in hot water here. Repent, be baptized, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Repent and be baptized, and you will receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And they became his disciples too, filled with the Spirit, going out to minister God's word. We follow the book of Acts, 28 chapters, just the first few. What happens to Peter? Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, they're going up to the temple to pray. They see a lame man. They speak to him. Silver and gold have I none, but such that I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Would there be an amen for that miracle? Amen. Jeff, I see that hand. So there's a beautiful miracle. Now watch what happens. Watch what happens. That miracle got them into a lot of difficulty. Why? Because that miracle, the story goes on. They begin to test about what happened, what happened. They begin to testify about Jesus. And where does that get them? It gets them ushered into the Sanhedrin, the religious leaders of the day. So they've done a good miracle in the name of Jesus, and that very miracle brings them into persecution. That's a novel thought, eh? So they go in there and they get persecuted, and a few chapters later, they take a beating. Why? Because they won't shut up about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God upon them to live this life and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom, Jesus Christ, risen Lord and Savior. But what I want to have you look at this morning here is that often the wonderful things of God that we love to see actually lead us right into the lion's den if we speak. We had I had a conversation with a friend of mine a week ago. We were discussing the events of the day and how the politically correct things, we're not allowed to say certain things. You've heard that? And I got home, I got to thinking about, we aren't, I guess. We're not allowed to say certain things. But we still can. They're saying you can't say this, that, and the other thing, but what's going to happen if you do? Possibly you end up like the disciples. Just a thought. I'm not trying to worry anybody here, but I've thought about this for years. As I look at the book of Acts, as I look at read the whole Bible, I think, my goodness, most of the times when the action's happening, there's a lot of trouble going on. And I know in the book of Acts, there's a season where all things went well, many got saved, even priests were getting saved, and they had favor with God and man. There's times in Acts like that. But man, as I follow Paul's life, and Peter, as they preach the gospel, boy, they seem to just get hammered. Stoned, I should say. Just a thought. So where am I going with that? So there's we're talking about Peter. They end up getting a beating, whipped, and they rejoice over that. They don't even, Lord, they don't even pray, get us out of this mess. They just, the name of Jesus is being exalted, and people are coming to Christ. Spirit of God's on them. We move to the next few chapters. We see Saul, this guy named Saul. He's persecuting who? Christians. Jesus says, you're persecuting me. Isn't that a novel thought? Jesus said, because Paul's persecuting Rob here, Jesus says, you're persecuting me. Why? Because Jesus lives in him through his Holy Spirit. Persecuting his body. So what happens to Saul there? He ends up getting blind, goes into Damascus. Ananias comes over and prays for him. And he's healed. And what happens to Saul, whose now name is Paul? He just can't contain himself. I gotta share this good news. He goes in, he starts preaching the gospel to the Jewish people. And what do? Weeping and gnashing of teeth, they're gonna kill this guy. And they gotta get him out of town. So there again, this principle of you can't keep this guy shut up. He proclaims the gospel, gets him in hot water, he leaves town. He's gotta get out of town. You go on to the story of Peter, same thing. Little different in that it has dreams and visions, but the Spirit of the Lord's directing him to go over to Cornelius' home, Gentiles. And so the Spirit of the Lord leads him over there, and great things happen. Spirit is poured out. Gentiles are coming into the kingdom. Yay! And what happens to Peter? He's got to go back to headquarters and report that he's breaking all these Jewish laws of hanging around with the Gentiles. Again, the glory of God coming, the Spirit of the Lord working in a life, leading right in, leading him right into trouble with his own brothers in Christ. Now, fortunately, that one turned out well as well. And they realized, wow, God is doing something different here. And that something that he's doing different is in the day of Pentecost, his spirit came upon his body and continues today. That was the beginning of the church. Prior to that, in the Old Testament, the prophets, the Spirit of God would come and go, anoint them for this, that, and the other things, kings, prophets, and priests. But in the New Testament, everything changed. Wow, everybody could receive the Spirit of Christ in their lives. Amen, Carrie. Do you like that? Man, I love that. To me, it's real simple. It comes back to little Amber hitting the ball. She started. She's got it. She's got that stance. And to me, sometimes we get far away from that biblical truth that we need the Spirit every day. Anyways, I'm getting kind of sidetracked here. Move on to, can we have a scripture? Actually, it's a good thing to have scripture to preach from. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And as I look at the book of Acts, and then I try to work it out in my own life and preach the gospel, I find myself in Galatians, and I thought, wow, here's this life in the Spirit kind of being demonstrated to us. And it says here, it is for, this is chapter 5 of Galatians. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's all I want to say. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Now, the story of the Galatians, Paul planted the church, and they're getting into, there's some Judaizers that came to that church, and they started to preach another gospel. They started to take people back into the Jewish law. In order for you to be saved, not only is it a free gift of God, but you've got to add your works to it. Part of those works in this church was the males have to be circumcised. And you can't be saved. So they're going back instead of forward in Christ. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3, guys, having begun in the Spirit, you began in the Spirit, you received the Spirit, it was a free gift. Now what are you trying to perfect things in the flesh? Don't go back there. And verses 2 to 12, he explains that. He has some words what he really thinks those Judaizers can do with themselves. But he says to the believers there, he says, you got that, eh, Dennis? He says this in verse 1. It's you're called to freedom. Don't go back onto the law, guys. You're called to freedom. You're called to freedom. Freedom in Christ to do as the Spirit leads us. And I look at this when he said, having begun in the Spirit, why go back? I think of my own walk with Christ. And having begun, I didn't know nothing, but I was introduced to Christ. I was introduced to the Holy Spirit. Slate wiped clean. End of my line, beginning of his. God, I need you. And I realized, man, Christ died for my sins. Invite him in, be filled with his Spirit, and start new. There's nothing I could do but simply ask in weakness. And what did he do? He came in. As his promise says, he came in. And so me, like many of you, started to walk with God. And I could see, wow, there was no doubt that the Lord saved me. There was no doubt that the only way I'm going to walk this Christian life is he's got to carry me. And I began walking in that life. And then as I got into it, and I started reading and studying, and I know some of you did this too, I began to depend on myself. Lord, I got this one. I've been down this trail before. I've got faith for this. Boom, boom. Lord, leave this one to me. I'll take care of it. Now, I didn't really do that or say that to God, but that my actions indicated I was. Rather than always walking in dependence on him every day, began to work out things in my own steam. And God will let us go so far down that trail. You've been there. And then plunk. He doesn't come through when I need him. I say, ooh, maybe I missed the boat here. And God wanting us to get back, Al, having begun in the Spirit. As you began, we have to continue those steps right through. And I'm talking 24/7 here. Sometimes many of you might have been raised in a church where it was 2 hours on a Sunday. You do your Christian thing, you allow the Spirit to work in your life. Hallelujah, praise God for 2 hours. And then The other 166, kind of work it out on your own. Go to your job site, and rather than asking God, Lord, I need you here. I think somewhere in the Bible it says, apart from him, I can do nothing. He really meant that about abiding in the vine 24/7 rather than giving it to God, the serious things, and then, Lord, I'll take care of this. I can handle this one on my own. Just a thought. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. And that freedom Christ gives us as we yield to his Spirit. There's more freedom there. When I looked and I got saved and I was set free from the former life, the old man died, the new one living, now it's up to just stay in tune with the Spirit and walk with him rather than trying to work out things in our own strength. Getting off track again. So we're called to freedom. Having begun in the Spirit, let's continue on. Life in the Spirit is apart from Christ. You and I can do nothing, and that's his Spirit working in us. Second question is, freedom to what? Let's go to verse 13. 13, 14, 15, Sarah, could we? Freedom to what? It is for freedom that Christ set us free. I wonder what he set us free to do. Wow, there it is. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Could we say that together? Serve one another in love. I hope you memorize that scripture this week. Serve one another in love. Christ has set us free. What for? To serve one another in love. We could add to that, we're not going to the about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's a given for this morning. But the next step is this. Serve one another in love. Let's go on. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Ouch. Serve one another in love. 1 John chapter 4, 7 to 21. Highly recommend you read that and reread it. It's about life in the body of Christ. And it talks about God's love being complete in us as we love one another. As I love you, as I love you, God's love is made complete. Why? How? Spirit of God in me. That's how God's love is made complete. It flows in here through his Spirit and out to brothers and sisters in Christ. Could there be an amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go down this trail a little deeper. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we all know the love chapter. God is love. Love is so powerful. I didn't mean you to put up there. Oh, she's so fast. She's incredible. 1 John 4, God is love. God's love is made complete in you and I as we love one another. Let's move on to loving and serving in his body. It goes on to verse 15. It says, be careful that we don't bite and devour one another and be destroyed by each other. Wow. Here's another miracle. I want to take you on a rabbit trail, but we'll tie it in. Just imagine, here we are at Christian Center. Visitors, glad you're here this morning. But the rest of us hang around here every week, eh? And Christ Church is so unique on this earth. I think of where I work at Austria Alpine, or have had jobs over the years, and we're put there to do our job, and you know, what's the boss want, what's the company want, and we follow directions. And we have relationship with those we work, some 0 and some 10. And yet God calls us into this body, his church, and he wants us to get along. He wants us to function together. Would stop and think, isn't that an impossible task? There is nothing harder than getting 150 people together to love and care for one another on this earth. Do you see it that way too? The only way it can happen is maybe by His Spirit working in us. Honestly, stop and think. This congregation, I could start naming out denominations. Like, just think of Crow's Nest Pass, this little church. God has placed this here. We're His called out ones. We're to be the light on the hill, shining for Christ. And how that's going to work and how the world is going to realize that things are working is that we love one another. How are we going to do that? When you take a group of people, and if we were to ask for what denominational background did you come out of? Where did you come from? There are probably at least 10 right here. And can you imagine? God's plunked us all in this same building, and we're supposed to get along? Only by His Spirit. Only. It's impossible. And yet He calls us and He directs us and He says, this is where it's at, guys. If you really want to get something to be a light in this world, it's you got to love one another. We keep coming back to it because it's probably one of the most important truths in the gospel, is that we love one another. But isn't it hard? Wow, I'm just, you know, it's most of you here, you might know 15, 20 people fairly well in the church, know their backgrounds and stuff. I know a lot more. I've been here 26 years and I know your stories and you know mine. And I only say that to say, wow, are we different? If you're really to have coffee with that one over there and find out what they really believe about this, that, and the other thing, you'd go, what? I'm in the same church as them? But I put the blame on God. See, so many times in years past, sometimes denominations would set up, here's the criteria, A, B, C, D, E. And if you line up with that, hey, let's hang around here. But it was never meant to be that way. This is God's church. This is Christ's church. And he brings us in and he says, Al, work it out with them. And you work it out with you. How's that? You sit down and chat. You talk. Honestly, maybe here's the main point of the message, if I ever get to it, is that really, this is, I meant not the main point, but the application of what we're supposed to be doing, is friends, go talk to each other. When somebody says something and you don't agree with, go ask them, not me. I can't read their mind. Doesn't that make sense? And go with this attitude. Just to understand where they're coming from. About 3 years ago, is Tammy here? Good, she's downstairs. Don't tell her I told this. It's not about her, it's about another coworker. Eva Zip. So at work, you know, we've got a good gig going, as Sam would say. It's a beautiful relationship where we love Christ, but we've got to work things out. And there was one worker there that her and I butted heads. I'm in sales. Everything to me is about sales. Man, you talk to the customer, yak, 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 relationship, boom, boom, boom. And often, you know, you're flexible on the rules, hey? You know, is this for sales? Flexible. My coworker, who's in charge of the area of inventory and ordering and purchasing, she's a rules girl. She's, oh man, instead of, I pick up the phone and talk to a guy in 3 minutes, it's solved. She writes a 3-page letter. This is the way it'll be now in regard to certain policies, okay? Can you imagine us butting head? I'm trying to sell buckles. She's slowing me down. And what would happen is this. We would butt heads. We would forget we're on the same team. And one day, I think maybe at least 2 years ago, maybe a little before this, somebody came in, Aaron brought somebody in to talk to the team. Hey guys, let's go. Let's sit. Lay the cards on the table. Let's talk. Let's discuss. And as I sat there, wow, I was listening to her way she was telling her story. And she had no axe to grind. She was just saying what was in her mind, how she runs her department. And it's her department. And then all of a sudden, I saw it from a whole different context. I realized that she wasn't mad at me. She's just mad at the things I do. But her whole philosophy was she was doing her job. She was doing it well. And as I understood and I listened to those words, I thought I had a whole new perspective on what she was trying to do. And we've got a new line in our office since then. It's Al, stay in your own lane. And it works really well. And likewise, her in her lane. But you communicate, you talk. And we realize we're on the same team. How can we discuss this? And man, maybe you're thinking that, I'm thinking this, but there's a third solution. Often there is. And so that's at the workplace I've seen, and it's the same in the church. Holy smokes, over the years that I've been around, 40 years, man, there's more battles in the church than you hate to admit. And it splits. What does it say there? I got hands going up all over the place here. What's going on? But let me conclude my thought. That thought, anyway. We don't want to bite and devour. We want to communicate. Here's an illustration. Is it really important, those two hands? I don't mind getting interrupted as long as it has something to do with the sermon. Good. Nice loud voice, Holly. Hold that thought. No use, just the people in the back row catching it.
Well, first off, one of the things that I found going through this experience has been how much we need community. And community means walking, talking, communicating, and being with one another. So much of the time, you know, we feel like, you know, and pride is one of those insidious things that just comes in and just says, I can do it by myself. But when you are a part of the body of Christ, you are called to be with one another, to help one another, and also to use the giftings that God has given to you through the Holy Spirit. And as you were preaching, it says here in Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So God has distributed gifts to each of us, not to the degree that maybe what I might want, but it's according to what he desires. "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many form one body and each member belongs all to the others, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves."
Ah.
And as you were speaking, I can honestly say that being in the community of the Crozes Community Christian Center, the prayers have been felt for those who have been compelled to pray, have been heartfelt. It's helped to get things through where doors were open where otherwise, I would never, ever have thought possible.
Amen.
You know, meals came over to the house because I wasn't in any condition to be cooking and doing different things. And all I can say is thank you. And as God puts things, as the Holy Spirit starts putting things on your heart, those are the times that He is communicating with you. And I'm not just saying this about me, but I'm just saying that if all of a sudden your neighbor down the street you haven't talked with them for a while and you feel compelled to go have a cup of tea, go have a cup of tea with them. The culture and the world we live in today is about me, myself, and I. And if we risk and we step out of this comfort zone, we might be persecuted, we might be condemned, but how can we be the hands and feet of Christ if we're not speaking and sharing with one another? And that is only done through love. And when we were in Calgary, we did attend a church on Sunday. And what I was really, what amazed me was the pastor who led the service on Sunday actually came to visit me in the hospital. And, you know, he had nothing to do with me, didn't know me from Adam. But again, the body is all connected. Yeah. We are all part of a bigger picture. And the other day I heard it said, many Christians today are starving because they're not eating the manna. Not the same manna that fell from heaven as the Israelites were in the wilderness, but are we eating God's word every day? Are we taking it in? Are we applying it?
Amen, Holly.
And then the other part is that we're very parched. We're so thirsty, but that there's nothing out there that can quench our thirst. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through what Christ gave on the day of Pentecost, that enables us to live out the Christian life.
Amen.
And I think right now, you know, it's just an awesome time for us to truly embrace what God has given to us. And I'm sorry for interrupting your sermon.
You didn't. I invited it. Somebody asked me the other day, Al, when you're on sabbatical, can we have you over dinner? I says, yeah, I can always say no. Anyways, thank you.
But anyway, I want to thank you and I want to thank the body for being the body. And, you know, the phone calls and the visits and, you know, and the cards and, you know, just the words of encouragement and the prayer, you know, is just so much appreciated. But sometimes, you know, we can get into that place of saying, well, you know, they don't want to see me or there's too much going on, so I'm going to put it on the back burner. If you're really getting a strong niggling, you're getting that feeling in your heart, it's just the Holy Spirit saying that I want you to be my hands and feet.
Amen. And I think that's going to line up nicely with the conclusion of my sermon, Holly, in that we're going to get to Galatians chapter 5. The key is keep in step with God's Spirit, one day at a time. One thing Holly said there was in Romans chapter 12, it's so key to living out this Christian life by the Spirit is that to honor one another in love, to count others, as it says, better than yourself, or esteem them in the sight of Christ. And back to my little illustration there about me and my coworker, is part of that mentality, if I'm coming in thinking I've got the answer, I've got the full picture, I'm not open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is doing in another person's life. One illustration I'll mention before I close might shock some of you. Others, you'll think, hey, that's no big deal. But I was in a dialogue in the last week, three people involved. And it was a good dialogue. It was excellent talking about the issue was in the Bible talking about evil spirits harassing Christians. And so that was the dialogue. And so one individual expressed their thoughts that in former years they had thought that the evil spirits couldn't, I think we use the word possession now and again, they couldn't a Christian. They used to think like that, but because of their life experience, they had been involved in situations where they knew this individual loved Christ And they were in a meeting where, holy smokes, some of the things coming out of that individual's mouth weren't from Christ. And so anyways, they changed their view on that doctrine. And another person in the room, they said, I can't believe it. I can't agree with that one. And they started to quote scriptures that definitely the enemy can hassle us and evil spirits and stuff like that. But they're on the outside. They ain't on the inside. Yeah? And so there was two different opinions, both Bible-believing Christians. And so then the third opinion was brought up was, whether they're inside or outside, doesn't the person really need some help? Doesn't that make sense? Like, okay, let's get the concordances out and the theological books out later. Somebody fell in a ditch here. Would you help me pull them out?
Amen.
Yeah. And so much of in the past, sometimes we're more enthusiastic and passionate about crossing our T's and dotting our I's theologically that we forget somebody's bleeding and dying on the Jericho Road. Just a thought. So I brought that up to think it was a great conversation. There wasn't the Bible says this greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That, you know, the tempers flare. Why? Because of my pride. Our pride gets in there. It gets in there. I got to prove myself right. Well, that's of the old nature of which we're going to the next point rather quickly here. Maybe we'll continue this next week. But Sarah, yep. Verse 16 to 18. Galatians, yeah, chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. And we'll just end on this note, maybe pick it up next week. Galatians 5, 16 to 18. So I say, we're continuing on. Paul doesn't want us fighting and devouring one another, because when we do that, we are really attacking the body of Christ. If we can see each other in a new perspective, look at that person that Christ lives in them through his spirit. And he's their body. And you look at Saul. Saul was persecuting Christ. How? Persecuting his body. And so as we verbally attack one another, if we fall into that, we're attacking Christ's body. And Jesus isn't impressed with that. And we go, so I say, live by the Spirit, he says, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The great conflict, the great war that's going on in each of us. See, we were baptized in Romans chapter 6, and the old person died with Christ. Christ died, right? Raised again. You and I identify with that. That old sinful nature, when 1978 for me, went into the baptismal tank, the river, the lake, wherever you got it done, and bang, the old sinful nature dies. Spirit of Christ comes in, born again, begin to keep in step and walk with the Spirit. Listening to the voice of the Lord. The only thing is, the old man rises from the dead now and again. That's my experience I found.